Welcome to the Bone Coach Show, dedicated to helping you understand all things related to diet, lifestyle, bone health, and how you can live and thrive with low bone density and osteoporosis. I'm your host, Kevin Ellis, certified health coach, health and wellness speaker, and above all else, your bone coach. After being diagnosed with osteoporosis in my early 30s, I transformed my health through diet and lifestyle and now help my clients and community members do the same through my online coaching practice, BoneCoach.com. Look, there are no quick and easy cures for low bone density, but the choices we make every single day can have a powerful impact on our bones, our health, and our general well-being. I'll share the research, interview the experts, and help you figure out how to get the conditions right in your body so you can better your bones through diet and lifestyle. Short disclaimer, I'm not a medical doctor, and this show should not be considered medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare team before making medical decisions and changes to your diet and lifestyle. With that being said, let's get on with the show.
You don't want to base your treatment off of one blip on a radar. You want to back up and get the big picture and then pick away at the details. Not to get overwhelmed by one single DEXA report or one single echolight report. You have to track these changes over time. Really take a moment to be kind to yourself. Stress can affect bone health as well as other organ systems. Just remember there's an entire you to the picture.
If you haven't done so already, especially if you're newly diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis, or if your most recent bone density scan still showed more bone loss, go ahead and pause this episode and head over to BoneCoach.com to sign up for your free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart guide. That's going to give you everything you need step by step by step over the next 7 days to get on the path to improvement and stronger bones. You won't want to miss that. So pause this right now, head over to BoneCoach.com, and I'll be here as soon as you get back. Want to hear a doctor's perspective on using an emerging bone health technology to help people understand her patient's osteoporosis picture? She's going to walk through what the technology is, how she uses it, what a patient can expect, and some wise words of advice as you're on your bone health journey. If you want to learn those things and so much more, you're going to want to stick around to the end of this episode. In this part two bone health and echolight interview with Dr. Kimberly Zambito, we explore the clinical use of REMS technology. That's radiofrequency echographic multispectrometry technology and echolight. And this is an emerging technology for the diagnosis and monitoring of osteoporosis. Welcome to this episode of the Bone Coach Show. Today, we're exploring the doctor's perspective on using an emerging bone health technology called REMS. REMS technology, that's radiofrequency echographic multispectrometry, uses ultrasound technology to provide a report on bone mineral density, T-score, Z-score, quality of bone microarchitecture, and provides a 5-year probability of major osteoporotic fracture. I explore this technology and the device developed by Echolight Medical called EchoS a bit more in another episode that I'll link to below. And if you're not already watching the video version, you can use the link below to get there if you'd like, because Dr. Kimberly Zambito will be sharing some slides that she'll be talking through as well. But with our guest today, we're going to discuss what using this technology looks like from a doctor's perspective and some of the most common questions her patients have. Dr. Kimberly Zambito is a board-certified orthopedic surgeon with subspecialty training in hand surgery. Prior to joining Mercer Bucks Orthopedics in 2016, she had 8 years of experience as an assistant professor in the Department of Orthopedic Surgery at Drexel University. After earning her undergraduate and graduate degrees in exercise and sports sciences at the University of Florida, she received multiple honors and awards in the areas of orthopedic surgery and rehabilitation while earning her medical degree at MCHP, Hanham University, now Drexel University College of Medicine. She completed fellowship training in hand and upper extremity surgery at the University of Rochester Medical Center. And as a decorated officer in the United States Army Medical Reserves, Dr. Zambito served as an orthopedic surgeon during multiple deployments with forward surgical teams in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom. She continues to treat general orthopedic trauma cases in addition to hand conditions. Her clinical interests include comprehensive hand and upper extremity care, basal joint arthritis, and compressive neuropathies and bone health. Dr. Zambito has been published in several peer-reviewed publications in hand and upper extremity orthopedics, and exercise and sports sciences. She's a member of number of professional organizations. She serves on the board of directors for the Pennsylvania Orthopedic Society, dedicated to preserving the physician-patient relationship through partnership and education. And she resides with her family in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And today we have the opportunity to learn from her. So Dr. Zambito, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Kevin. I'm really excited to be here. I'm talking to you about this technology.
Good stuff. I'm excited for you to be here too. And I'm glad you're with us. So what I'd like to do is just open up for some of the most common Q&As that your patients have. And I'd like to originally start with what is EchoLight? What is the REMS technology? And how do you describe EchoLight to your patients?
Right. When I talk to patients about EchoLight, I explain to them that it's an ultrasound technology that we utilize to evaluate bone mineral density as well as bone quality. It essentially is an unfiltered ultrasound associated with some artificial technology that evaluates the ultrasound signals and then generates a report regarding bone mineral density as well as bone quality.
That's great. And it's different than a DEXA scan, right? So DEXA scan is what most people are familiar with when they get diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis. At this point, the way that's done is through a DEXA scan, right? But this is a bit different than that, correct?
Correct. EchoLight is different than DEXA scan, but it also provides similar information. With regard to the research that has been done on the EchoLight, EchoLight was compared to DEXA, and there is some concurrence with DEXA, provided that there is a good quality DEXA, and of course that the EchoLight evaluation is of good quality too. It's 90% sensitive when it comes to the femoral neck and the lumbar spine, and it is also just as specific. The benefit to the REMS is that it gives good information with regard to bone mineral density, but also bone quality, which you're not going to get with a DEXA unless a DEXA has an added software package called a TBS or trabecular bone score.
That's not as common. Just find a DEXA scan that all of them do not have TBS technology associated with. So it's not every single DEXA scan you're going to be able to go get your bone quality checked at the same time.
That is correct. Also with the TBS, it's only looking at the lumbar spine. It is not looking at the femoral necks.
Okay. And then with REMS technology, we are actually looking at both of those sites, right?
Correct.
Okay. So is REMS technology better than a DEXA scan?
There are advantages to the REMS technology. That includes the evaluation of bone mineral density as well as bone quality. It is innate within the software package. As we mentioned previously, when it comes to the DEXA, if you're curious about your bone quality, you have to have an added software package for the TBS. When it comes to the EchoLight scan, it's not as dependent on operator, whereas DEXA is very dependent on the operator in terms of positioning the patient and then processing the data that's gathered through the DEXA. Some people do bring up the benefit that REMS does not use radiation, whereas a DEXA does. Just to clarify that, the radiation you get from a DEXA is actually less than what you would get if I were to get an X-ray of your hand. So that's a minimal downside to the DEXA.
And I know there are some studies, you know, and I've talked about this in the other episode about EchoLight. There are some studies, various European studies that show the correlation between bone mineral density between REMS and DEXA, provided they're good quality scans. What else did you take into consideration as you were considering bringing one of these into your practices?
Right. I think what most people are looking for when they look for the technology is they want peace of mind. A lot of times people come to me and they're shocked by their DEXA report. I try to reassure them that we're not going to base treatment off of one single report, that we need to take into account an entire picture. And part of that picture for me is adding the EchoLight REMS technology, in which I can do a live scan. I can evaluate whether or not I got good quality images at that moment. And then I can also look at their bone quality.
And when you receive those, when people are bringing their DEXA scans, because I'm sure you see a lot of them, you know, when people are bringing them into you, do you see a lot of errors in positioning interpretation?
There can be a lot of errors. Some people quote 90% error rate. I think that's a little high in terms of the error rate. There are some patients who come to me who have really good quality DEXAs, and what they're looking for is this DEXA real? Is the information given to me from this DEXA real information? And the Echolight REMS can give them some degree of peace of mind. I do like to compare the DEXA at the time that I do the Echolight. It's not an intense comparison at that moment, but it is an eyeball to make sure that I am evaluating and receiving the same information. For example, it's helpful for me to know if the patient had their left femur scanned or their right femur scanned, because I want to make sure I'm scanning the same thing when it comes to the Echolight. So it's helpful to have the DEXA at the time of the evaluation for the REMS.
Sure. And I know we're going to dive a little bit more into the actual evaluation and the technology and the process. You're going to share some things especially for the people on video too. Do you see a lot of discrepancies in terms of numbers when people share their DEXA results and when they get their REMS results back?
So between the DEXA and the REMS, I do not see a lot if the DEXA is a good quality DEXA. If it's a poor quality DEXA, then yes, there can be some disparities between the two. And that's when I have to sort that out. Sometimes it involves a phone call to the facility where the DEXA was performed in a conversation with the radiologist. Sometimes it involves me picking apart the data. For example, if somebody has been going to the same site for a DEXA for a number of years, I'll look at the change in bone mineral density over time. And my question is, does this make sense? So there can be some discrepancies, and therein lies, the devil in the details. You have to look at the reports themselves. Some people come with reports with only the numbers, but not the images. It's important to look at the images so you can see how the images were framed out for the DEXA scan.
Absolutely. 100% agree with that. And then also it's good that you go into investigator mode to help people find those answers. How long does this Echolight REMS evaluation take? Because you're running these, on people all the time. So how long does this typically take for someone?
Yeah, I usually do a 30-minute time block, and that gives me time to bring people into the room, enter the data that needs to be entered on the Echolight machine. For example, name, date of birth, age of menopause, height, weight. That information has to be input before the examination begins. I talk to the patient to make sure that they've voided prior to the exam, because I have to place a probe on the abdomen, and a little pressure on that probe can be a little uncomfortable if you haven't taken care of those needs prior to.
So
the
we want to use the restroom prior. Yes.
correct. So, positioning the patient, making sure positioning is very easy. People lay supine on the examination table. If you cannot tolerate being in a supine position, it may affect the way that we do the scan. I can usually prop people up. I do occasionally have people with COPD or problems with breathing, so I am able to prop them up a little bit, which is not the case when a DEXA scan is performed. So I do have a little bit of positioning when it comes that I have to take care of when it comes to the Echolight. The lumbar spine scan takes about 2 minutes, and then the femoral neck scan takes less than that, about a minute. And then it takes time for the Echolight artificial intelligence to process the data and then generate a report. If I do not get good data, which is very rare, then I rescan the patient.
That's great. is there, I know one of the questions that you get is, why do you have to have, you and I had talked about this before, why do you have to have a separate appointment for the Echolight and then, a separate appointment for a review and a consultation after that to discuss those things?
So it's from a medical legal perspective. We're not an imaging facility, we're an orthopedic practice. And anytime a physician orders a test, whether it is a blood work or an x-ray, that physician claims responsibility for the test. So if somebody wants to come to me just for the Echolight, they would need to bring a prescription to the appointment. And that tells me that there is a physician who is going to assume responsibility for reading the test, interpreting the test, and then counseling the patient. not a lot of physicians know about the Echolight technology. So I do like to consult with patients afterwards. It gives me time to talk to them about their medical history, factors that can affect bone health. And then I can review labs, any prior DEXAs, and then really get into the REMS information for them. So I'd like to provide comprehensive care and not just send them out the door with a lack of knowledge.
That's great. And then in terms of, we talked a little bit about preparation, but how is someone going to prepare for this Echolight scan? What do they need to do? We talked about using the restroom, but what are some of the other things that they need to be doing?
Absolutely. I like patients to arrive a few minutes ahead of time. We do have 30-minute time blocks. So if somebody arrives late, it crunches down on our time frame with other patients, but arrive 15 minutes early. Make sure you're wearing loose fitting clothing, because I do have to access the abdomen. And then in order to access the femoral necks, people have to bring loose fitting pants so that they can bring their pants down to mid thigh. Please wear your underwear.
We don't want to miss that. We don't want to miss that one.
Yeah, please wear underwear. And then make sure you voided prior to coming into the room. Also, you want to try to fast for 2 to 3 hours prior to the examination, as gas in the intestines can block the ultrasound signal and affect the quality of the test that we get.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, we don't want to be eating a large fibrous meal before coming in for our REM scan.
Yeah, so try to avoid that.
Okay, and then is this an uncomfortable scan when someone gets this? Do people report that to you at all?
It's not an uncomfortable scan unless you have, for example, an abdominal hernia or you have a sensitivity. I have had a couple people who have sensitive abdomens for whatever reason. For some people, I can usually talk them through it if they do have a sensitive abdomen. I have not yet had somebody who says they can't tolerate it at all. It's not uncomfortable. It's just we do have to put a little bit of pressure on the abdomen in order to get the images. For people who have larger BMIs, probably BMI greater than 30, 35, we do have to put a significant amount of pressure in order to place the probe where it needs to be placed to acquire good images of the lumbar spine.
Okay. And I know one of the other important questions is, does a person need to bring their DEXA scan in when they're, like, if they already have the diagnostic page images and things like that, do they need to physically bring that in with them when they see you?
There's a couple options. They can scan them into our portal. If we register them into our patient portal, it's easy enough to scan their DEXA reports into the portal. For those who are not so technologically savvy like myself, you can bring the DEXA to the appointment and we will scan it into your chart so that we have a copy of it.
Okay. Do you scan the wrist when you're actually doing the scan?
Yeah, no. So DEXA scans can scan the wrist, especially for individuals who cannot have their hip scan or their lumbar spine scan for various reasons. We're looking into developing the technology for scanning the wrist, and I hope I'm looking forward to that when Echolight can work on getting the wrist involved. Scans.
That would be great. Yeah, that would be really good. And then what if somebody has a total hip joint?
So we don't scan the hip joint. Even with DEXA, you can't scan a hip joint that has had a total hip or hardware in the hip for various reasons. That's when you would consider scanning a wrist or the contralateral hip. For example, if you have a total hip on the left, then we would scan the right. Same goes for DEXA.
Okay. And what about spinal fractures too?
So it's important to let anybody, whether it's you're getting a DEXA scan or a REM scan, to let the person doing the scan know your history of a lumbar spine fracture, whether you've had a kyphoplasty, vertebroplasty, or you have hardware in the spine. With the REMS, the thought is the hardware should not affect the REM scan for the lumbar spine. But it is important to let the technologist know.
Okay. how do you use the information once you actually get that back?
Right. So the information that's gathered again is bone mineral density and bone quality. And Echolite has developed a matrix, and that matrix puts the two together and then develops a 5-year fracture risk. And that's how the information is put together. When you look at the matrix is broken down into about 9 categories. And for people who, for example, have normal bone density and normal bone quality, that's when I start talking to them about lifestyle factors, making sure they have good nutrition, working on balance and fall prevention, avoidance of high-risk activities, because anybody, whether you have normal bone mineral density with good quality bone or osteoporosis, anybody can fracture. When it comes to somebody who has osteoporosis and poor bone quality or degraded bone quality, that's when we have a conversation about, you know, medications, you know, bone building type agents, in addition to lifestyle factors and fall prevention and working with them on balance. I really try to provide a more comprehensive approach when taking care of people with bone health issues.
And I think that's a really important part of this is you're using the data to help the patient make an educated and informed decision, because it might not make sense for somebody to just jump right into doing the very first thing, you know, proposed. Sometimes it takes gathering the data, understanding if we're actively losing bone, understanding what the bone quality picture is before really moving forward confidently with those decisions.
Correct. And I see an entire spectrum of patients, Kevin. I see, you know, people who have significant medical issues and people who are very, very healthy. So I try to work with the patient on what is realistic for you. For some people, it's just getting them to cut out soda and maybe try doing some exercises. I would say most of the patients I see have balance issues, and it doesn't matter what your age is. As we age, we have issues with balance. And I can, when I do the examination during the consultation, I can usually bring out the balance issues, and it's usually a surprise for people. So I try to engage people on other factors, in terms of their bone health. Some of the big ones are posture, core strengthening, balance, and fall prevention.
I know what you and I, maybe what we can do is, since we've already kind of talked a little bit, maybe we can now visualize some of the things we've just discussed. And especially for those on video, they'll be able to see this. On audio, you can still listen to this. But are you open to just sharing and kind of walking through what some of this data looks like, what the reports look like, what you're seeing on your end?
Absolutely. I have a few examples ready to go.
Okay, fantastic. And for those listening, you can still listen along. And if you'd like, there's the actual video of this below where Dr. Zambito is walking through the images and things like that as well.
Right. So the Echolite REMS technology generates a report, and the report includes images of the femoral neck, as well as the a graphic depiction of bone mineral density, and then actual numerical information on bone mineral density. But it also gives information on a REMS fragility score, which is a reflection of the bone microarchitecture. So for example, this individual has the classification of osteopenia at the femoral neck, that is a T-score of -1.2. However, this person has good bone mineral density, good microarchitecture, or a low REMS fragility score. When you put the two together, the Echolite REMS generates a matrix, and that matrix is translated into a risk category. So for example, this person has osteopenia, but normal fragility score, so good quality bone, normal quality bone. That puts this person in an R3 risk category, which translates to a 4-8% risk of a femoral neck fracture at 5 years. The image on the right of the screen is a quality control image. I use this to evaluate whether or not I achieved good images. When it comes to the REM screen of the femoral neck, you have to have one good captured image. in order to generate the information. I go for two. I don't want to call myself a perfectionist, but if we're going to do it, let's do it right.
That's right.
So I get two images. And if I don't see that during my quality control moment, then I'll rescan the patient. Any questions about the images I just shared?
Yeah, I would just say more of a comment also. I really like that it's not just, you know, you see the bone density number and that's what it is. And that's the end all of the picture. We can actually dig in and look a little bit deeper and get more of an understanding of, okay, we may have a little bit lower bone density, but we may have good bone quality. And that puts our risk a lot lower than it may have been projected, right?
Correct. And it can also have treatment implications. So for this person, I would consider, let's do calcium, vitamin D, provided I look at the labs for sure. That person. It may be simply let's optimize your nutrition. Let's optimize your exercise routine. Let's work on your posture, balance and fall prevention. I would not necessarily, because this person has osteopenia by bone mineral density, I would not necessarily jump to a medication.
Sure.
Here's an example of the lumbar spine scan. As you can see, there are three vertebrae, which are color-coded in green. The green means normal bone density, but when you look at the graph, you can see that that person is on the borderline. So their T-score is -1. So that's a borderline value. Somebody looking at this REMS report may ask, why is L4 not green? That L4 was not processed in the data. You need two good images or two good scans of two of the vertebrae in order for the information to get processed and a report generated. The reason that L4 did not get evaluated is when you look at the bottom screen for quality control, the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see L4 is black. And that's because there's abdominal gas blocking out the ultrasound. So that's why that image did not get evaluated. So that's a very real depiction of why you don't want to have a cabbage soup before your REMS scan.
And so you're talking about you need two consecutive vertebrae, right, to get a good enough reading. Now, so even if we have fractures, let's say we have a fracture in L4, but we don't mm-hmm. have a fracture in the other vertebrae, are we still able to use the lumbar as an accurate assessment measure?
You can. You need two out of the four vertebrae for a good read or a good report. There is a way to eliminate the fractured vertebrae from the assessment. So you have to let the technologist know, whoever's doing the scan, know ahead of time that, hey, I have an L2 vertebral body fracture. We're still going to scan L2, but I can eliminate that from the data assessment.
Oh, that's great.
Another example. This is an example of an individual with osteoporosis. This person had a DEXA scan, which showed osteoporosis. And then I performed a REMS evaluation, which confirmed there is osteoporosis by bone mineral density. When you look to the right at the REMS fragility score, which is a reflection of the microarchitecture, she has good microarchitecture, which is approaching the partially degraded microarchitecture. Putting those two pieces of information together in the matrix, this person has a 35 to 60% chance, which is a large spread of developing a major osteoporotic fracture. For example, a thoracic spine fracture, a lumbar spine fracture, the compression fractures. When I go to look to ensure this person that I did a good quality scan, as you can see, I captured all four lumbar vertebrae in that REMS evaluation. So I'm pretty confident that the REMS scan is providing good quality information, which is concurrent with her good quality DEXA that she had. The only added information, which makes a difference in her treatment, is the fact that she has good quality bone, good microarchitecture.
That's great. And I hope, you know, our listeners and our viewers are starting to see just what this tool can do for us too. You know, I know this is a technology that's already pretty well adopted, or is really growing in adoption in Europe. It's slowly starting its adoption here in the US. I know you're one of the leading people in this area, Dr. Zambito. And I appreciate you taking the time to share those messages there. Any other important points or things that you think our audience and listeners should understand about the technology or the process, or anything like that?
Regardless of the technology you use or choose to stick with, DEXA versus Echolight REMS, you don't want to base your treatment off of one blip on a radar. You want to back up and get the big picture and then pick away at the details. I think that's really important, not to get overwhelmed by one single DEXA report or one single Echolight report. You have to track these changes over time. Really take a moment to be kind to yourself. You know, stress can affect bone health as well as other organ systems. And, you know, just remember there's an entire you to the picture. And you have to take that into account. And when it comes to taking care of your bone health, sometimes we have to work together and really determine what is reasonable for you. And that's so important. It's so important to work with somebody who's able to help you sort through that and counsel you and guide you through your bone health journey.
I think that's super important as well. And, you know, I know a lot of times people look at their DEXA scan results and they just feel like, you know, this is their identity. This is their me. They define themselves by a score on a piece of paper. And that's really not the case at all, right? It's information that's helping us make educated and informed decisions. And it's really important to have people like yourself on that journey to help guide and support. I want to make one additional note is that just because we're talking about the REMS technology does not mean that DEXA, there's no value and things like that to DEXA also. Right now, that is still the current gold standard. And it's the most widely available, covered by insurance in many cases for people also. So it's still an important tool. It's still an important tool in our toolkit.
That is correct, Kevin. This by no means eliminates the benefit of the information gained through DEXA. DEXA is considered the gold standard. This is another tool. And I think it's really important to educate yourself in terms of whether or not you have a good DEXA scan or you don't have a good DEXA scan. Same goes for the Echolight REMS evaluation. And it's so important when you get your DEXA, make sure you're going to the same facility. Ideally, you want the same technologist, although that doesn't often happen. And then track your changes over time. For individuals that I see who, you know, they have a 1% change in their bone mineral density, that's within the least significant change. So I tell them, don't freak out about that. You know, whether you gained or lost 1%, it's still within that LCS. So I just, I really try to spend some time with people educating them. And then again, if there's something that doesn't make sense, you got to pick away at it and figure out why it doesn't make sense.
So I think you brought up some amazing points. I really appreciate your time today, Dr. Zambito. And I'd like to close out by just asking you, where can people find more information about you, your work? Let's say somebody wants to come see you and get a REM scan done. Where can they do that at?
Yeah, I'm at Mercer Bucks Orthopedics. We have offices in Pennsylvania, New Jersey. I do the Echolight scans at our Lawrenceville office in New Jersey. The best way to get in touch with us if you're interested in having a scan or a consultation is through www.mborth.com. That's Mercer Bucks Orthopedics, mborth.com. And then you can request an appointment online and somebody will reach out to you to schedule the appointment.
That's fantastic. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure I link to that that website below so our listeners and viewers can access that if they'd like to. And I just want to close out by saying, Dr. Zambito, I want to thank you again so much for your time today and for sharing your knowledge, your experience, your wisdom with our listeners and our viewers. We appreciate it. We appreciate you. And we especially appreciate practitioners that, they take the time to be the advocate for the patient. Too, you know, sometimes that attention to detail, the extra step, the caring, which I can really sense from you just from our conversation, is really, really appreciated. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kevin. This is great. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Bone Coach Show. You can find all the resources, show notes, and everything we talked about today over at bonecoach.com/osteoporosis-testing-echolight-rems/Dr.Kimberly-Zambito, which is linked also just below in case you can't remember all that. Thanks so much again. I'll see you next time. Hey, it's Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. Hope you found that episode helpful and that you enjoyed it. Just one last reminder, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com, sign up for your free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart. It's going to tell you everything you need to do to start getting on the path to improvement. Hope you found this helpful. I'm your Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. I'll see you soon.